Our first lesson consists of two passages from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. From Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved, but that God has loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, so we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson is, at least the first verse of it, should be very familiar to you, perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible. But we're reading from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. And this is, listen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may clearly be seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Seems very appropriate on the Sunday following Thanksgiving to talk about gratitude. We just spent a day remembering all the things that we are thankful for, the many ways that God has blessed us. So today I want to talk about gratitude and grace. And it's coming from kind of a follow-up to last Sunday's message. You may recall, if you were here, that last Sunday I told you of a seminary professor I had that describes God in four words: righteous judge, loving father. And everything else about God falls under those basically two categories: righteous judge, loving father. And last week I told you that God is on the side of the poor, the widow, the orphan, the alien. That God stands with the weak, the helpless, the underdog. And that God is about bringing justice. to those who are not receiving justice. And that if we truly want to be following God, we need to be about these things too. So today I want to look on the other side of that as to the loving Father. And I want to boil it down basically to grace and gratitude. That kind of says it in a nutshell, that God's grace has been shown to us because God is a loving Father, desires the best for us. And our response to that is gratitude. It's gratitude because we didn't do anything to deserve that grace. We didn't earn it or we weren't good enough. It's a free gift offered to us who have rebelled against God. But there it is for us. As I was thinking about this message, my thoughts went back to when I was in Atlanta, Georgia, working for a Christian community development company. And we were making plaques, little hearts, wooden hearts, that would sell in a Hallmark store or gift store or something like that. And we were working, I was heading it up, we were trying to train and employ people in the inner city. And the man who we were working for, the one that had the business that we were contracting with him, was if I remember correctly, a fairly new Christian, maybe a year or two even in the faith. And he'd been a pretty wild person before that. And he used to take one of the stories from the Gospels and kind of rub it in my face, so to speak. And the story was this. Jesus went to a Pharisee's house for dinner, and as he was there eating, this woman who is described as a sinner came in, and she began to wash Jesus' feet with her tears and anoint his feet with perfume. And the Pharisee's name was Simon. Simon was got all bent out of shape. That's, Jesus ought to know what kind of woman this is, and get rid of her. Jesus, knowing what Simon was thinking, said, Simon, two men owed a creditor money. One of them owed 500 denarii. A denarii is a day's wage. The other one owed 50. Neither of them could pay the man back. And the man forgave both of their debts. Now, who do you think loved the creditor more? Simon said, the one who was forgiven more. And Jesus said, those who are forgiven little, love little. This was what that man was throwing at me. Those who are forgiven little, love little. And since he was forgiven much, he certainly loved God more than I loved God. Kind of angered me that he'd say that. Still angers me, to be honest. I am a sinner, just as he was a sinner. I had rebelled against God, run away from God. And God came chasing after me. And through God's love and God's grace has drawn me into fellowship with God, into the family with God, just as he did that man. And I think what that man maybe failed to see, and maybe I didn't see it at the time, was that it was also God's grace that protected me from some of those sins that that man had done. Because those sins came with consequences. And I was spared through God's grace of those consequences. So we who perhaps grew up in the church, who have always had faith, we need to recognize that part of God's grace was that protection. Because we have been forgiven our sins, but we are also under God's grace that is working in us and transforming us. And sometimes we who did grow up in the church, who may not, maybe did not sin as much as others, perhaps, we still need to remember that God is the one who has loved us and shown us this grace that we cannot earn, that we do not deserve, but this grace that is within us, shaping and molding us and transforming us into the image of Christ so that we might live in love like Christ. St. Augustine wrote, "Love God and do whatever you want." Now that sounds like a license to sin, doesn't it? Love God, get out there and do whatever you want. But if you truly love God, then God is changing those things that you want. Why would you want those things that would break that relationship with God, that would separate you from God, that would bring you harm? Instead, don't you want to do those things that would please God? To show thanks to God, gratitude to God for all that God has done for you. And so how do we do this? When Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" he quoted the passages that we read from the Old Testament. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That was in Deuteronomy. In Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself. And God took these two things and he brought them together. And he said, made them inseparable. These sum up the entire law. These sum up the entire way we are to live. Love God. Love others. Put them together. And it all begins with us loving God. And as I read from John 3:16, we love God because God first loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We are people that live in the light. And then in 1 John, we read that God is love. God's very essence, God's very nature is love. And we love because God first loved us. That if God hadn't loved us, we wouldn't even know what love is. And because God loves us and he's shown us and proved that love to us in the work of Jesus Christ, we're to love others. If we read a little bit further in that same passage, that same chapter of 1 John, it would have said that if we say we love God, but we don't love our brothers and our sisters, we're liars. And the love of God is not living within us. That loving God and that loving others has to go together. And the very way that we show that we love God is how we love others. We've never seen God, but we see one another. We see our neighbors. And in the way that we love our neighbors is the way that we show gratitude toward God. Another way that we express our gratitude is through worship. We gather here on Sunday morning to worship God, to express our love for what God has done for us, to be growing in our faith. And yet, if we worship God and we don't balance that with mission, with reaching outside the walls of the church and helping those that are outside the church, we're not going to be a healthy church. Because in the letter that James wrote, he said, "Faith without works is dead. We worship without mission, it's dead. It's not complete. It's not balanced." And the opposite is true. If we have ministry and mission, but we don't have worship, again, it's not healthy. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, But people would come to him and say, we prophesied in your name. We did ministry and mission in your name. And Jesus will say, depart from me because I never knew you. Worship, mission, they go together like love, loving God and loving neighbor. So when we think about loving neighbor, how that is an expression of our gratitude. We shouldn't be asking, who is my neighbor? Rather, we should be asking, who do I need to be a good neighbor to? Who might need to hear the liberating good news of the gospel? Who might need to understand the love and the forgiveness, the grace that is offered to us through Jesus Christ? Who's hungry and needs food? Who is experiencing injustice and needs somebody to stand with them and fight for justice? And then we ask, what can I do? What can I do now to be this good neighbor? How do we express this love in being neighbors? God empowers us to love this way. God empowers us through his grace that we might live a different way. God loves us so much that he saves us from our sins, but he doesn't leave us that way. But God is about transforming us into the people that God wants to be, into a people that love God and love neighbor, that worship God and does mission, that experiences grace and demonstrates gratitude. And I think it should be a given, although it's not always seen, it should be a given that we love one another within the church. That we don't talk behind each other's backs, that we don't gossip, that we don't cut down and berate and all of that, but that we lift one another up, care for one another, love one another. But it can't be just that. Because often when we do that, we build barriers and walls that prevent those from the outside from coming in. And our love for God, our love for neighbor, our worship of God, our mission for God must be reaching outside the walls of the church. Let me read a quote to you from Madeline L'Engle. She says, "We don't draw people to Christ by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it." Our gospel lesson from John talked about that type of light, the light of Christ that shines brightly. And when we are loving others, it shines through us and it draws people in. Because people do want to experience grace and love. The church, us, we need to be a people of gratitude. People that recognize that we are indeed saved by grace, but we are being transformed by grace. And therefore we gather to worship together. We need to show gratitude in that we love God and we love others. That we worship God and we do ministry and mission for God. That God has called us to live lives of grace and gratitude. So I have an assignment for you. Application. And I'm going to give you a chance to think about it in just a minute, pray about it. But think of somebody, Somebody that needs a good neighbor. Somebody that needs a loving neighbor. And how you might be that good neighbor to them. How you might love your neighbor. So let's take a moment, pray, and invite God to reveal to you someone that you might be a good neighbor to, preferably someone outside of our church. So let's pray, and then we'll sing our next song.